Hey, people, what's poppin'? It's a new week, I'm sorry to say. Unless you're up real late Sunday night listening to this. And so much to talk about from the weekend, per usual. I was going to say the Lions and the Tigers are both done. I guess the Lions aren't done.
They're done.
Michigan State might be done.
Well, they're done as far as making the playoffs. There's no way they make the playoffs.
And I don't know how they win the Big Ten either.
Well, they need a lot of help, but they mathematically can still do it, but they're done.
Very unlikely.
They just don't look that good either.
No, not at all. I went back and watched.
Although Indiana's underrated, man. Remember they played Michigan so well last year at home? They almost beat number one Ohio State during Brandon's wedding. We were watching it on Slingbox.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, I do. Vaguely remember that.
That was one of the games we were watching during Brandon's wedding, which, how terrible is that, watching football games?
I've seen the whole wedding party at the bar watching football games.
I take it back. I think Michigan-Maryland was the day he got married, but Ohio State and Indiana was definitely the night he got married.
Which game?
The one I was talking about, Ohio State and Indiana, where Indiana almost upset them at home. So they've played ranked teams really well at home. They just finally broke through against the Spartans.
Yeah, Indiana's been on the cusp of a lot of wins. It just seems like it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, they're not.
It just doesn't.
They're not a very good program.
No.
They can't even sell out that tiny little stadium.
Boy, let me tell you,
ranked game.
That running back for the Bears looked damn good today.
You know, a lot of people on the Lions to draft him last year.
Oh. I got to tell you, if it was between him and Abdullah, I think that's an easy pick for
Jordan
me.
Jordan Howard
anyway.
Or Amir Abdullah?
Yeah.
I'll be having Theo Riddick. I would rather have Jordan Howard, absolutely.
You'd rather have Abdullah than Jordan Howard?
No, I'd rather have Howard than Abdullah since we have Theo Riddick. Because I think, to me, Riddick and Amir are pretty much the same back.
Yeah, they're similar.
Obviously,
Abdullah's a better runner.
Yeah, I was going to say Amir's a much better runner, but they pretty much do the same thing.
That's probably not a bad place to start. The Lions are 1-3 after that nice opening week road upset win against the Colts.
Which, how great does that look now? The Colts are 1-3. They lost to Jacksonville today. So.
I know. It's
cares? This team is garbage, man.
Well, how about the defensive line today?
What about them?
Jesus. Well, they just ran right through them. Well, Howard just ran right through those guys.
Now, they have some injuries in the defensive line. And you got to like Kerry Hyder, who, you know, I laughed at the first game because he had two sacks. It's like, oh, there's the new stud of the line. But he's had a sack in every game. He's got five total now. The defensive line, to me, isn't what's bad. It's the linebackers are atrocious. And it's more Terrell Austin, Drew.
Did you see some of the holes that were open for Howard today, though? I mean, those were
big
holes.
Yeah, no, I know, but I have I think it's because
I agree with linebackers.
I think it's linebackers not filling them. I think Van Noy, God bless his heart, he's been so beat up and had so many injuries. He just is. He's just at a slower speed. He just doesn't have the health, and they just, you know, not having Levy really, really hurts them. But once again, Terrell Austin. You can't just rush four guys all the time because you don't have Ndamukong Suh anymore. You got to mix it up. Look what happened the time they blitzed Slay on the double blitz and they got the sack. You remember that play?
Uh-huh.
And then another time they blitzed, they actually blitzed Van Noy, which was very slow and the guy was let go. But outside of that, I can't think of many other times where they would actually blitz the Bears. And you have Brian Hoyer, the backup quarterback. How do you not blitz more? You have pretty good defensive backs. Glover Quinn is good. Slay, I love Slay. I think Slay's phenomenal. Diggs is not bad for the nickel. So they have good coverage backs. Blitz a little more.
Well, honestly, they gave up, 17 points today? So, I mean, it wasn't that grim.
But look at those drives. Look how long those drives are. Brian Hoyer was 28 of 36 for 302 yards.
I know. That had to be a career game for him or close.
I don't, you know, they showed his record at the beginning of the game. He's got a winning record as a quarterback.
Yeah, 16-12.
I think the lack of scoring might just be because they were more methodical in their drives. But I never once did I think our defense could stop them.
No. And the offense, you know, I keep going back to last season and the Cooter thing, and I thought it was to have Jimmy Cooter, not calling him Jim Bob, that's three names, as people point out, having Jimmy Cooter and Stafford in this relationship that was so wonderful. I was a believer in that. I still told myself those games meant nothing. They weren't exhibition games, but they were. There was no pressure whatsoever to win games, and so they won games, seemingly. Now, it could be two things. It could be one, great improvement. They kind of hit the jackpot with the right offensive coordinator. Everybody's on the same page. Or it could be a combination of that and the fact that there was no pressure, and some guys play a lot better when there's no pressure. And I'm starting to think it's a combination of both because Stafford.
I think he is the least, you're not going to believe I'm going to say this. I think Matthew Stafford's the least to blame on that offense.
Well, the one interception was a miscommunication, I guess.
To go so much so they benched Golden Tate. Golden Tate was not out there in the second half.
I know. He's
he's been awful this year. I don't know what's going through Golden Tate's head.
Somebody put up a list of the biggest fantasy disappointments of the year so far, and Golden Tate was on the list.
Oh, I believe
it. Actually, real high on the list.
I believe it.
The last interception, though, when it really mattered, that's two at the end of a game now.
Yep. Where he overthrew.
Really mattered.
Where he overthrew Ebron.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know,
you can't just ignore the fact that the two crazy bad interceptions that he's had this year have been when it mattered most.
No, I know. I'm just saying overall for this offense, actually the least of the problems is Marvin Jones, but then probably Matthew Stafford. I don't know who else. I don't know. Everyone else has been pretty awful. They have so many penalties at the beginning of drives that it's like the drive is over before it even starts.
Oh, my
God. Whether they're false starts or their holds, it's just inexcusable.
They had one drive where it seemed like Stafford was throwing, you know, second and 17, second and 20, third and 15, and he kept moving them. He kept getting the first downs, and I think he got a field goal on that drive. But
was that the drive that ended on 4th and 3?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Can somebody, I know I sound like a broken record, please explain to me why they kicked a field goal there.
Okay, restate the position, the yard line.
Fourth and goal from the 3.
And how much time left? What quarter?
I believe it was in the first half, right? It was the first 3 points they put up. So
what yard line were they in?
245. They're on the, let's see, where are we at? Let me check my notes. Oh, no, you know what? I'm sorry. It was the first drive of the second half. 4th and goal on the 3. 8 minutes left in the third.
Well, you know, strangely enough,
you're down 7-3. It's a one-score game, and you kick a field goal to make it a one-score game.
Stafford on 4th and 3, I'm generally very confident in him that he'll get it done. I don't know why.
Of course.
I think he probably has a good record on that type of play. I have a. You know, it's funny. As much as I rag on Stafford, and I tend to believe that the Lions, sometimes the problem is same old Stafford, not same old Lions. But generally speaking, I like him, and I do think he'll put phenomenal numbers up every week. He'll drive you down the field all day long.
He's just inconsistent. I think you and I are on the same page with him.
Yeah, I don't despise him or anything. It's not like it's an emergency. He's one of the better in the shortage of quarterbacks that we exist in right now. He's not a bad guy to have.
He's probably, I've moved him up to like 9 or 10, maybe 8th. I can think of maybe 7 guys I'd rather have.
I might not put him quite that high, but I'm approximately there. The penchant, though, for not making the big play, see, sometimes it seems like he's going to make the big play. I feel so confident in him, and that's, it seems like, when I get confident in him, that's when it seems like he lets me down. Yeah. So weird. My relationship with Matt Stafford is a very strange one.
But don't you think they should have gone for it there? That's after they ran the ball in the middle 3 straight times.
Yeah, I'm remembering back to it now and thinking that for some reason I thought they would. I don't know why I thought that.
Well, it started 1st and goal on the 5. Theo had a really nice run that got it down to the 1.
He
was almost into it.
And then they got stuffed.
Yep.
Twice. They ran 3 times, didn't they?
Yeah. Zach Zenner.
Right.
Zach Zenner's first carry. 3rd and goal for the 1.
How do you explain that, by the way?
It's fucking ludicrous that they would have done that.
It made about as much sense as running Joik Bell on 4th and 1 when Howard was just running through the Lion defense. Like,
you know what I wrote my notes about that?
What?
That was just a dick measuring contest. You know what I mean? John Fox says, hey, we got your guy Joik Bell. He's short yards. We're going to use him here.
Uh-huh.
So you guys can say, you know, because it's early enough in the game. You know what I mean, though? It's kind of like, we're going to show you who's boss.
Right.
Everybody knew he was getting the ball there.
The offensive line was moving pretty well
at
that point.
Yeah.
All game.
It didn't work, so it ends up being the wrong call, but I, you know, I don't know if
Joyke was averaging 6 yards a carry at that point, by the way. It was nice to see Joyke out there. Oh, the number 43 is not the right number for him.
Well, call him up and tell him.
Is somebody wearing 35 on the Bears?
Probably, or else he would have that. But
43 looks fucked up on him. I mean, that sounds really
stupid. He's a big back.
I don't know, 43? Who's ever been 43? Can you think of a really good 43 running back?
What was Matt Sui?
42.
42?
Yeah. 26. Matt Sui was 26.
What was Alstott? Mike Alstott, was he 44?
I think he was 40, actually. Or maybe.
See, they're always fullbacks. Let's see. I'm going to check. I'm going to Google.
I'm telling you, 43, you're going to have an issue finding a 43 in almost any sport.
Alstott was 40. You're right.
43. Good God.
Matt, I just wanted to say Matt Sui. Yeah, he was 26. Best number 43 in NFL.
Yeah, I'm trying to flash back to the book of the numbers, you know, probably, where they go through every number, and I'm trying to think of a 43.
Well, I was going to say it's probably going to be a defensive back, and of course, it's a defensive back. It's Troy Polamalu.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's 43.
Great one. But how many other great 43s can you think of in any sport?
Larry Brown, running back for the Redskins, was 43.
He was good for a short time. But, I mean, for the best of ever wear that number in any sport? I can't think of a good baseball 43. I can't think of one.
No, that's really weird. Here, let me just try best 43 of all time.
This is a really weird conversation, but I think people are thinking. I know you're with us out there.
I'm sure somebody's yelling of one right now. Don't you think?
They weren't yelling Larry Brown. Polamalu, yeah, I bet some people were yelling Polamalu.
He's got to be the one.
While you're looking, by the way, what a bummer the Tiger season wrapping up the way it did.
almost appropriately, though, right?
I think it would have been more appropriate had they squeezed a couple runs over and then had the bullpen give up two runs in the bottom of the ninth.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, I kept hearing this all day. I listened to the radio for a significant part of the game, and the TV guys were talking a lot about the shadows in Turner Field, how bad they are. Late afternoon starts.
Well, there's a lot of complaints. Down.
I know. There's a lot of complaints about hitting, the way the shadows start halfway. And just generally speaking, before that period, before the lights come on and really make a difference, it's very hard to hit in that park. Jim Price was going on and on about it, and he was talking about a number of bad swings the Tigers took. And they did. They swung at some horrible pitches today. And the impression I got was that with these guys throwing hard for Atlanta, and the starter pitched a great game.
The hell's his name? It's like Tehran.
Tehran,
it's like the capital of Iran.
Tehran, exactly. No, he's a good pitcher.
Yeah.
And their relief guys throw hard. Victor took a terrible swing on a ball really high and outside. J.D. Edson, there were just a lot of bad swings today. And a little bit of bad luck. They had a man on second base. You know, Iglesias led off the eighth with a double, and they didn't bunt him over.
Oh, is it?
They decided not to manufacture
him. Is that when they hit in the double play? Yeah.
Yep. He was doubled off. Kinsler ripped the ball to shortstop.
That's kind of what I mean about how appropriately it ended. Not only do they waste a Verlander start, but they don't manufacture runs, and they struck out a shitload.
How could you not? You got to move that guy over. When you're late in a game, and on the road, I suppose it's even more essential, and you get a leadoff double, you got to move that guy over. You have to. You have to. I've seen this in quite a few low-scoring games this year where they just couldn't get the offense going, and yet you'd see a righty come up, you know, like a JD or an Upton or someone like that, and they're taking these big-ass swings like they're trying to hit the ball out of the stadium down the third base line.
So what do you do there? You know, you don't pinch hit Victor?
You got to be swinging. You got to at least be trying to hit the ball to the right side.
Who are you going to put in, though? I'm just wondering, because this might be a flaw of the way
anybody who is a hitter at the major league level should be able to hit the ball to the opposite field or to bunt the ball.
Yeah.
At least, you know, and if you're trying to hit the ball to right field and you're not getting the pitches, you may not always succeed doing that. You probably succeed a lot more bunting. But there are a lot of guys that if they swing inside out, Cabrera can hit the ball to right easily. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any problem doing that. I don't know if you want him to really give himself up in any way, shape, or form. He hit the ball well to right field twice today. He had two hits, both to right field. But I got the feeling he was, because of, I don't know if it was the shadows or what, but he did not look like he was taking any kind of home run swing at the plate. He looked to me like he was trying to punch and duty the ball and just get a hit like he did. It seemed like that park is just awful to hit in under those circumstances. I've heard that before, but they just talked about it a lot today, and there were some bad swings. And here you got a park that's 20 years old that's being replaced. 20 years? What? And you know they passed a $400 million taxpayers are paying $4 million.
It's a total ripoff. And that guy lost the election last fall.
They didn't even vote on it.
The guy that pushed it through.
Yeah, right.
By the way, number 43 for the Tigers, Bruce Rondon.
But the you find a 43?
The number, according to Bleacher Report, the best number 43 of all time?
Yes.
Richard Petty.
Oh, get out. Oh, come on. That's not a sport.
Palomalu and Dennis Eckersley. Eck.
Oh, Eck. Okay, Eck's a good one, but I mean for the best?
That's a loser number, my man.
There's no depth at that number. What? Can you go to 43, Jay?
It's Palomalu.
Oh, Palomalu? Is there anyone else? Did they list anyone else?
I don't think so.
I can't.
What a pathetic number.
Yeah, it's pretty lousy.
Jeez. So, yeah.
I don't know, at least...
Steve Foley, Cliff Harris, Don Perkins, Roynell Young, Jim Norton. Oh, boy, that's slim pickings.
It's awful.
Larry Brown. Larry Brown, yeah. He was good. Redskin.
Yep.
They ran him into the ground. So, far as the Lions, do you see any...
No.
See any hope down the road?
It's the NFL. They're going to end up pulling some out of their ass, some games out of their ass. But they're just... You know... I hate using this excuse because they still have no depth. But they are beat up, man. They are. Injured.
I agree. No, they're missing two really outstanding defensive players. Two of the, can we say the two best players on the defense?
On the defense, easily.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Slay. I like to say he's the
best. I think Quinn's a good boat.
Ziggy and Slay. Glover had a good game today. It's from what I can tell. I don't know. You know, they have two home games now. That theoretically were against, you know, actually they have three home games in a row that were theoretically against bad teams, except the Eagles have surprised everybody. They're 3-0. And then they have the Rams, who won again today and are on top of the NFC West.
Isn't that great?
And then you have the Redskins, who, that was an interesting game with the Browns today, so which they also won. So now which one of those three are they going to win? Which one of those games do you see them winning?
I'm not going to commit to anything.
We know what they can do against the Rams. We saw it last year. The Eagles, I just figure Wentz is going to pick them apart. They'll win. They'll probably win two of those games, don't you think?
So they'd be, well, at home, they should be. I mean, the crowd will come fired up, no question.
They'll be 3-4?
If they win 2 of 3.
Yeah, they'll win one then. They'll be 2-5.
And honestly... I don't know. I feel like Stafford is connecting with his targets pretty well. I mean, the loss of Calvin to me is not, you know, of course you don't want to ever lose a great player like that, but I think that it's working out okay.
I don't know. The triple pump fake pass to Theo Riddick that ended up behind him again on a third down play. What are you doing?
Oh, boy.
Oh, the all-time best play, though, of the game. Remember, was it after... The second week when they were running down and they were having that big push towards the end where they failed against Tennessee. Remember Ebron got that big first down?
Yeah.
And he went to celebrate and there was
You realize you better hurry?
Today, did you see when he went to do kind of a trap block from like a wing position or an offset fullback position for Theo?
And he gave up on the block and for Theo broke the tackle, he's still just standing there?
Yeah, he's looking up at the sky and Theo's trying to get every yard he can.
That was a very, very interesting. Really says a lot, doesn't it?
He's a clown, man.
Well, he also, didn't he drop a pass in the first drive, and then he had the second drive, the first play, was he offside?
He had a holding penalty on a big run that I remember.
Well, the first drive he dropped a ball, and the second drive he had a penalty.
It was incomplete. I don't know if that was a drop or if it was just a bad pass, but yeah. I don't know. I think we kind of are seeing what Eric Ebron is. If his head's in the game, he can do amazing things. But how often is his head really in the game?
He's a double-edged sword. It looks like he's going to catch a lot of balls this year.
Another favorite highlight of mine was in the first quarter. Stafford just rolling out
and
crossing the line of scrimmage.
Oh, my God, by 3 yards?
And still throwing the ball. You know, poor Orlovsky gets so much shit for stepping out of the back of the end zone against the Vikings.
Well, he wasn't even close.
No, I know.
The back of the end zone.
I know. But how do you not see the yard marker there? You're at the sideline and you cross the line of scrimmage.
Well, he was busy getting through a lot of traffic there and he just completely lost track, I guess.
Oh my God. That just sums it up though, doesn't it? It's such a stupid play.
Yeah.
That was right after a false start by Ebron too.
Oh, right.
And I think on the third down there.
You're gonna have two penalties today?
At least.
I'm thinking he might have had three. I didn't take my usual intense notes that I do. I just sit after a certain point. I just like I'm not doing this.
It was a lousy game. It was a lousy game.
It was
too many penalties, man.
And to think they get that punt return too, just when you think the game is over, get that punt return for a touchdown. And when the flag went out, I was sure it was on us.
Everything I always write to is I don't ever want Andre Roberts returning a kick. Because he never gets past the 20 on a kickoff.
I know, he doesn't.
And
no,
a punt
he's terrible
gets
on kickoff.
Like 4 yards. So my theory as to why he was able to return that 85 yards is the Bears saw flag and thought it was offsides. They're just going to loaf. Someone else was going to make the play. Because didn't it look like the laziest attempt by the Bears?
It was really weird. It was a pretty easy punt return as punt returns for touchdowns go.
Like I wasn't even excited when he scored because I figured the penalty was on the line.
Of course you would think that. Everyone thought that. But nonetheless, they get that. I mean, because the series before that, you're going, okay, this is pretty much game over. There's not enough time to do enough. And they hold the Bears. The Bears punt, and he returns it all the way. It's like, whoa, okay, here we go. Back in again. It looks like it could be another one of those crazy Stafford finishes.
Yep.
If they could just get the ball back. No. But no.
And my man Sam Martin, that was a terrible onside kick.
Yeah, that was bad.
Although they almost got it.
They did.
The Bears made a dumber play.
Well, it hit the lion first, so it wouldn't have mattered.
I never saw a good angle where it really showed. I mean, they called out the wrong number.
It hit a lion, though. It hit the inside of his leg, I think.
Which guy did it hit?
It didn't hit the guy that they said it hit.
Killebrew?
Killebrew. I think it hit Killebrew. Okay.
Oh, man.
Pretty sure about that. But then the Bears fumbled it. The Bears fumbled it after that. But the penalty would have superseded that, right?
Yeah, because the Lions can't touch it first if it doesn't go 10 yards. What a joke of a game.
Yeah, it was just silly. 0-3 against 1-2. 0-3 wins at home. Great. With Hoyer at the controls. Looking all pro-ish.
And their defense sucks, the Bears' defense.
How do you not put up more? Your offense put up 6 points in that game.
I don't know. There's another
time. That's amazing. Isn't it? Really, think about that. We were up and down the field quite a bit.
Yeah. But this is the problem.
How many yards did Stafford throw for today?
Let me look it up. This is one of the problems with this team, though, is they do not finish drives.
Which is what we were so good at last year. Red zone, Stafford was amazing. Was
phenomenal in the red zone.
But I think so much of that is in the last 8 games, which I'm kind of starting to call those exhibition games. I hate to say that.
He had 213 yards.
Oh boy, that's
on 36 attempts.
Mm.
That's awful.
So what did we run for?
Oh, 66 yards on 18 carries.
Oh boy.
And Theo could not get anything going. The other time they kicked the field goal was another time you could have gone for it on fourth down.
Was it fourth and end
of the second quarter, 2:45 left. It was like fourth and two on the Bears 31 when Prater drilled the 50-yarder.
See, that's where I like going for it because, you know, it's really an iffy field goal. You got 2 yards to go.
He has been great over 50 yards. He's been one of the best long-distance field goal kickers of all time.
No, he's a good kicker. I mean, I don't feel terrible going for a field goal there and getting a couple points. But at the same time, you know, you get a fourth and two like that and extend that drive. That's a real good omen.
And the math says to do it, so you go for it.
I don't think they've gotten the math on that yet. Nobody seems to. That seems to be the most ignored math.
Well,
whereas sabermetrics in all sports are being used and used quite a bit and quite efficiently, in my opinion, by a lot of guys. The fourth down numbers, which...
Well, how about appealing to their aggressive nature and saying, don't give the other team the fucking ball. You're giving up the ball. You can't score without the ball. Field goals are so overrated. And now that they're 1-3, Caldwell should go forward and fourth down almost every time. Because what does he have to lose? Because he so is going to be fired at the end of this year.
Yeah, I know. He's so done.
And Darrell Austin, I don't know if he's going to even survive the year.
How much, this might be a stupid question, but just thinking about Caldwell comes in here as this really nice first year, disappointment, horrible disappointment in the playoffs. And then last year was his second year. They had the nice second half, whoopee-doo. But they've been through two drafts with this guy as coach. I know he's not doing the drafting. One draft with Quinn. Mm-hmm. I don't know, how much better do you feel about our roster since Caldwell got here? You feel any better about the roster in general?
That's what I was saying. The depth is still an issue, but how much can you do in 1 year when you build a team through the draft? Now, by all takes, the draft picks from last year, with the exception of A'shaun Robinson, who had one big play today but hasn't been playing much, it wasn't a bad draft. It doesn't seem to have been a bad draft. I mean, it's not like Glasgow's going to contribute right away. Decker's starting.
It just seems like generally...
Wayne Washington is a seventh-round pick.
He looks actually like he might be something worthwhile, worth keeping.
Rudock's on the taxi squad. He had a good preseason.
I always feel like over time, we never really improve that much. We always seem to have the same depth issues.
Because you have to do that through the draft. And yeah. Martin Mayhew was the worst drafter ever.
He had one really good draft.
What was that,
2011? Yeah. I think so. Or was that 2013? Warford, I think, was in that draft.
Yeah, but how good is he now?
Well, he was great, though. I mean, when he came
into
the league,
year.
He was really good.
Not very good last year.
It looked like a good draft.
And he just got run over when the guy sacked Stafford, the second sack of the day today.
Mm-hmm.
He just ran over Warford. Oh, boy. It's looks such like a frustrating sport.
Looks like a really frustrating football season to me.
Yeah. No, I know. Thank God I still have Michigan.
Yeah.
Seriously. Which I haven't had for years.
You know, I was thinking about, this is a terrible thing to say. Well, I'll say something else first. There's a story today about Wi-Fi in Ford Field that they're really
still
working.
Still not working?
People are pissed, too.
Of course.
It's funny. They quoted this one 79-year-old guy who said, I can't get my apps.
Was his name Al Fellhauer?
No. Is he pissing and moan about
that?
He's
not that old. No, but he would be pissed if he couldn't watch or, you know, use his phone.
And the other thing I was going to say just about the Tigers, and this is really crappy, but for some reason when they get knocked out, I love the Tigers. I watch every game. I really want them to make it. I really want them to go somewhere if they can. And I didn't expect a ton out of postseason, but I just thought if they made it, it'd be fun. I usually end up when they get knocked out, I go, well, at least I don't have to spend the playoff money. Because playoff tickets are so expensive. And they charge you for the whole thing. You know, like they're going to make it to the World Series Game 7. There's going to be all the home games played in every round. And it's like, oh, Jesus.
Don't you love to see how much money they make on...
Holding your money?
Holding your money, yeah.
I'm sure it's a nice little chunk that we'd all like to have ourselves. But I really wanted to make it. I really, really enjoyed this team. I really enjoyed the season. You know, they were out of it so many times. And they just kept fighting back. I mean, to the bitter end, to the absolute bitter end, they were still clawing and fighting to make it. And I give the players credit, and I'll even give Brad Ausmus credit. He held that team together. When they lost 11 in a row, did anybody think they'd have a chance to be in postseason the last day of the season?
No.
No way.
No.
No way. And then there's the 3-14 record against the division leader. I mean, those are two huge strikes, and yet surrounding, you know.
But my issue with that is, look how, and maybe this isn't Osmus's fault, maybe it's how they're built. Look how opposite those two teams are and how they're built.
Cleveland and the Tigers?
Yeah. Cleveland, such a strong rotation like the Tigers used to have. But they have an offense that doesn't look like they should do anything, but they manufacture runs under Francona.
Yeah, they do. And that's, you know, there's some stylistic and roster differences, which really are not Brad Ausmus's fault.
No.
And I think a lot of blame that Ausmus gets, I don't think is fair necessarily. I do think, though, they could have been a better team at manufacturing runs, even with that lineup. They're a little hamstrung. You know, you've got right-handed home run hitters coming up all the time. It is a little hard to say, hey, hit the ball to the right side or bunt him over. Mm-hmm. But you know what? As a player on that 25-man roster, sometimes you have to do that job, especially late in the game when you're down a run in a low-scoring game in particular. You have to give yourself up.
Well, so do you blame Ausmus for not doing that today?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely you have to.
But I think that's kind of a – I think that's sort of – he would probably say that he is managing with the deck that he's been dealt, that he's not going to tell Miguel Cabrera or Victor Martinez or Justin Upton to, hey, give yourself up, swing inside out, anything, get the ball over, bunt it, do whatever you have to do. He's going to want those guys to swing away and hit a two-run homer.
But wait a sec. Who was on the bench when that spot came up?
When the man in second and...
Iglesias is on second and Verlander's spot came up.
Victor. I
mean, no, he pinch hit.
Yeah, Victor pinch hit.
Yeah, who else is on the bench?
Oh, who else on the bench? I mean,
they have a 40-man roster.
Yeah, they've got a few guys in there that could have laid a bunt down, sure. Not Jacoby Jones.
And yet he didn't.
No, he didn't. He chose not to do that. He chose to hit Victor, which I think that was probably going to be his best and last chance to use Victor, though, you know, in his defense. Do you want Victor to come up and rip a double? Or do you want somebody to lay a bunt down? That's a tough, you know, that I think there is a decision to be made there.
With Kinsler on deck,
I'd rather get him
to third.
I tell you what else I don't like is that it's so hard to hit in that park with the shadows in that late afternoon. It just seems like
that's more of a reason to
maybe bunt you're better off manufacturing a run there. And Victor took a terrible cut. I didn't see it, I was in the car, but it sounded like he just took a swing at a real shit pitch. I think it's the first time I swore today. Wasn't really thinking about it.
I didn't even think about
that. Hey, I'm going to...
Can I mention something else about
the
Lions?
Yeah, sure.
Did you see the extracurricular that happened on the field today?
No, what was that?
The guy in the gorilla suit?
No!
Guy ran on the field with a gorilla suit and a sign that says, All Lives Matter, R.I.P. Harambe.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, Look, I think he's probably trying to do a stupid joke about Harambe. You know, that's like the big internet meme, you know, about remembering that gorilla that was murdered because that kid fell in Cincinnati.
Oh, come on.
But you cannot be that tone deaf.
Oh, there's plenty of tone deafness, I'm sure.
Well, then it's just blatant racism. I think he had something else on his shirt, too. Let me find it. You know what? If you Google it, Jay, you, there's video of it. Did you find it? He gets the crap kicked out of him too.
Really?
By the security. Oh yeah.
Nice.
He kind of gives himself up, and it's funny with the Lions players. It's right in front of the Lions benches. I was just really hoping one of the Lions players would have just rocked him.
That time when Mike Curtis, the Colts, did that in 1970 playoffs, that is just a classic. Some guy thinks he's so funny, drunk with his shirt off, running around the field, and Mike Curtis just laid into this guy. Those last couple guys piling on for them. Trying to get half a sack like Rudy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two guys clearly have them down. These other two guys just kind of pile on.
Yeah, one side of the shirt, All Lives Matter. The other, R.I.P. Harambe.
So that was very planned out.
Oh, yeah. Yes, gorilla suit. Happened right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. You could actually see him on TV when they came back from a break. You could barely see him being escorted off by security.
Oh, man, what an idiot.
So what do you think it is? Do you think it's just a joke, a very
No, you're probably
joke,
right. It's probably
an ignorant joke, or is it blatant racism?
My guess would be it's probably some stupid guy, just beyond tone deaf. I don't think it's somebody trying to. I wouldn't say it's a KKK guy.
No, no. But then again, there's a guy. You see the guy at Eastern Tennessee?
Eastern Tennessee? No.
There was a Black Lives Matter rally, and he showed up in a gorilla suit with a banana hanging from a noose just to incite the Black Lives Matter people. The guy got arrested, too.
I don't even know. Why would someone do something like that? What are you thinking about? Well, you want to get your ass kicked?
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, he didn't get his ass kicked. He got videotaped.
He's lucky he didn't get his ass kicked. Somebody should have kicked his ass.
Yeah.
And who is he? Do we know anything about him?
You know what? Let me find the story. But, he got arrested, I think, for maybe inciting a riot.
Yeah, it's funny how they find these charges to fit the ignorance if it's dumb enough.
By the way, it's in the Tri-Cities area.
It seems like there have been a lot of police shootings lately, too. I mean, it's like I can't even keep track of the most recent ones. California, West Virginia.
18-year-old Tristan Retke.
An 18-year-old.
Arraigned on civil rights intimidation charges. He's an East Tennessee State student donning a gorilla mask trying to hand out bananas with rope nooses around them during a Black Lives Matter demonstration.
I mean, is this guy have friends who talked him into it, thought it'd be really funny?
I don't know. $10,000 bond. He's been released. After seeing information about the Black Lives Matter rally on a social media app, Retke went to a store to buy a rope to tie bananas to in an attempt to provoke protesters at the event. Well, it almost sounds like that's his quote.
Whew.
Wow. He also saw a gorilla mask at the store and decided to buy it as well, according to the arrest warrant. He respects the rights of those in the Black Lives Matter movement and peacefully demonstrated.
Oh, sure he does.
In furtherance of their message in the spirit of the First Amendment, according to his attorney.
Yeah. Now, that statement really matches his behavior.
Yeah. That being said, despite what many may feel was objectionable behavior, Mr. Retke has the same free speech protections as those in Black Lives Matter movement. That's not necessarily true, my man.
We had a shooting, police shooting here.
Yeah.
State police. Not Detroit.
Yeah. Over a sovereign citizen, right?
Yes.
It's funny.
Stupid.
I was talking to Charlie about this on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't released the race of the victim, have they? Just the name?
No, they haven't.
But when I was talking to Charlie, I said, maybe this is racist of me, but Taylor, sovereign citizen, sounds white to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes. Of course. No, I assume that he was.
Why did they break out the back window, though, of his car?
Because he wouldn't open the window, I assume. He wouldn't address the police. He said he's a sovereign citizen.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't think he thinks he has to roll his window down or be stopped or talk to the cops.
An idiot.
Yeah. So I think they're trying to bust the window to get him the hell out of his car, and then he takes off. And some windy chase, lengthy chase, after which I think he ended up getting out of his car and running.
Yeah, he ran.
And he had a weapon allegedly, and I guess it was considered enough of a threat to shoot.
Ugh.
So we had a shooting here. There was one in West Virginia. I want to say, are there two in California recently?
Well, the one with all the riots in El Cajon.
Yes.
California.
Is there another
California? That's where the guy holds the vape up.
Right.
The mentally ill man.
Right.
Which, you're holding, when you point something at the cops, that's, you and I talk all the time about. When do you really feel threatened? Well, I think when somebody points something at you in a shooting stance is when you're threatened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to.
Yeah, and they had a picture, they had a screenshot of a frame where he clearly is in a shooting stance.
The video itself looked like garbage. Although you know what the other issue with that story is?
What's that?
Took the cops 55 minutes to show up to the 911 call.
What?
Yeah.
In El Cajon?
Yeah.
Why in the world would it take 55 minutes?
I don't know. Because remember, it was his sister, I believe, that called the police.
Mm-hmm.
So she called the cops because he's got mental problems, and she notifies them of that, and it still took him 55 minutes to show up.
Yeah, that's very strange. God, there was a 48-hour story this weekend that just, oh, my God. Did you happen to see 48
Hours? No,
It was a great show, that is.
I was glued to college football.
You know what I want to do? I want to discuss, remind me, Osmus's future.
Yeah.
Jay's kidnapping.
Yeah. That's the first thing I asked Jay about.
Jay's kidnapping. Okay, 48
Jay has a really good spin on that, too.
I'm curious to hear it.
You know what I'm talking about, right, Jay? It's what you told me when I first started talking about it. Yeah. Don't forget.
No. I lived it. How could I forget it?
48 Hours had this woman
down Clemson, Louisville too.
Oh yeah.
Cuz I have a response to the text that I didn't text respond to you. I'll verbally respond to your text.
Oh, did you have thoughts on that?
Oh, it's become very interesting.
Oh, good. Okay. 48 Hours. This is really out of left field. I just thought of it. But
okay.
We're talking about true crime, kind of. This woman, beautiful woman, mother, she's got a daughter, two daughters, I think. One's 18, who she's having a lot of problems with. And she had really been sort of one of these guilt-ridden divorcees who doesn't apply discipline. And this kid was really wayward, partying a ton. And so she starts trying to put her foot down. And the kid really resists that. And that's something you'll see when you start too late on the discipline train. Kids just, they just won't have it. And this kid wouldn't have it. And so anyway, the show starts with a 911 call. And it's the 18-year-old daughter screaming, you know, my mom's, she's not breathing. She's, you know, was she shot? No. There's just blood everywhere. And
she did it.
Well, I was very suspicious immediately, especially after hearing a little bit about the story.
Troubled. She makes the 911 call.
Yeah. And then they come to find out that this girl, who is on her phone every millisecond, her phone is turned off from 1 a.m. to 3:18 a.m. Phone's turned off.
Come on.
The 911 call was at, like, I think 5 in the morning or something. They find her on a videotape at a CVS at 1:45 or something, buying bandages and, you know, for treating a cut.
Yeah.
And she even needs to ask the clerk for a, you know, do you have a paper towel or something? She hands her a paper towel because this thing's bleeding.
Yeah.
She stabbed her mother. Well, someone stabbed the woman to death, stabbed her like 50 times. And
well, which would be a very personal crime.
Oh,
somebody
absolutely.
That knows that person. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Very OJ-like.
Yeah.
You know, they knew that was not just some burglar, you know, who suddenly became enraged with the burglary victim.
Yeah.
No, they knew.
By
it
the way,
was
if you're going to commit a crime like that, you can't turn your phone off. You just have to leave it at home.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. If you're going to CVS to take care of your hand,
well,
you need your phone anyway.
18-year-old idiot. So. You know, phone's off. She's at the CVS. What else? Let's see. Blood. No, she didn't really leave any DNA at the scene, which was the weird thing. Hmm. There was some DNA they couldn't identify that was on the pillow, but, I mean, who knows with these things.
If it was her mom, wouldn't her DNA be there anyway?
Well, yeah, you would think it would be. But, you know, nonetheless, the whole thing with the phone being turned off. Oh, when the police get there, she's, you know, it's warm. It's like, I forget what time of year it was, but it was warm. She's wearing a sweatshirt that hangs, like, down to her fingers. So it hangs over the cut that she had on the back of her hand. Of course, they eventually ask her, you know, can we see your arms?
Yeah.
You know, and she's got this cut. Oh, where'd you get that? Oh, I fell on a beer bottle at this event.
Just like
on some broken glass.
Like OJ.
She had told, I know, it was a lot like OJ.
I broke the beer bottle when you told my mom died.
Yeah, and I was picking up the glass from break. I was so angry about Nicole being dead. I picked up the glass. With the back of your hand?
Yeah.
They asked OJ, I want to say, 234 questions about that cut. They spun him in circles. They had so much fun in that civil trial with him. Anyway, they found six people that had asked her about the cut or had talked to her about the cut, and she'd given like four different stories about how she got it.
Yeah.
So she was so, oh, is she guilty? And they find her guilty. Jury takes 9 hours to find her guilty.
Oh, that's fast.
She gets 20 years, which I thought,
20 years?
I mean, it's like the guy that killed his pregnant wife that just got out and killed his four kids. By the way, the funeral on Friday. Oh, God, it was terrible. Charlie and I talked about it a little bit. Kimberly Craig, Channel 7, was covering that. Did you see this?
I did not see it, no.
when they went back to her after the piece, tears just streaming down her face, God. And she could not, she could barely talk to the anchor. She was so broken up. Oh, it was boy. Just, it was understandable. I mean, it was a terrible, yeah. just the worst thing. And I don't know much about her, but she seems like a nice girl. Anyway, they find her guilty 20 years, and then after like 9 years in jail, they determine she gets this new attorney. First of all, her mother was wealthy. Her mother had a estate worth like $1.5 million. She had had good jobs, and she saved her money. So I think she may have been able to use her mother's money for these attorneys. I'm not sure. I know she was fighting over the estate. It's funny, she's found guilty of killing her, and she's fighting over the money. Anyway, she gets this attorney who is able to find out that there was information, there was discovery that the prosecution had that they didn't turn over to the defense.
Oh, come on.
They overturned the fucking thing. So she's not guilty. No, new trial. Then they decide to offer her a plea deal that she has to serve like maybe 6 years or something. Anyway, she serves like another year, and she's out after 10 years.
Wow.
And she's doing this, you know, in your face. You know, she's working on behalf of victims or people who've been wrongly accused of crimes and all this bullshit.
Oh, come on.
I want to throw up. I want to shoot out the TV so bad. Oh, is that maddening.
Did her defense ever pose who else did it?
No. Hell no.
They never did?
She had a boyfriend, but and his alibi, he was sleeping, so it wasn't the best alibi, but
sleeping.
They didn't have I don't think the boyfriend had a real volatile relationship with her. He was not a very good
but
suspect.
She did.
Yeah, she did. Oh, she did. Yeah, she told a bunch of people, you know, her mother needs to go to hell.
Well, what was her motive?
Her motive was they think that she got home and mother probably argued with her because she was fucked up or something.
Yeah.
And she just lost it. Okay. She was livid with her mother for, you know, cutting her off, I think, financially and trying to discipline her. And she was quite the little party monster, I guess.
She hot?
Yeah, she was kind of hot, actually, hey. Although she packed on the pounds in jail.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, she was big by the end of that story.
Why did she eat so much?
I don't know. I just think it's a sedentary life of an inmate.
You mean walking around that track for an hour doesn't peel off some weight?
Guess not, or maybe she didn't walk around that track. I don't know what she did, but she was bigger because she was hot when the original clips of her at the beginning.
Did this murder? Did she get any of the estate?
I don't know. They said she was suing other relatives.
So it's still going on.
Yeah, it's still going on. I'm hoping the other relatives spent the cash. And it's gone because it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
So if they got it, it's probably gone anyway. Wah, wah, wah.
Or hopefully they just hit it.
But what a, yeah, I know.
Overseas.
What a disgusting case, though. And the fact that she would come out of there acting like she's part of this, you know, victims of overzealous prosecution. Oh,
just like that's what Amanda Knox is doing now.
Well, at least Amanda Knox didn't kill anybody.
Oh, I know.
I watched the documentary, by the way.
And?
Yeah, it's good.
Wasn't it really, really good?
Yeah, it was good. You know, it's really interesting when you have the actual person telling their story from their side. And also, you know what was disappointing was that I wish they'd had more of the boyfriend telling his story.
Yeah, Raphael.
Yeah.
Salecio. Who, by the way, now is some TV crime expert in
yes.
Italy because he was accused of a crime? What?
I know, true crime expert.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Other than that, people know who he is. All right, there's one question I was waiting to ask you now that you've seen it.
Okay.
Do you remember her recounting Amanda Knox? She goes home that morning that Meredith Kircher is murdered.
Mm-hmm.
She takes a shower, right?
Yep.
Do you remember her talking through the scene? So she says how she saw blood splotches in the sink, but she didn't think anything of it.
Right.
Shaving nicks. Gets in the shower, steps out, and sees the blood splot on the bath mat, which I can totally get. I can really kind of see that happening. But then she looks in the toilet. Do you remember?
What was in the toilet?
There was a huge dump someone left in the toilet.
Yeah.
And she said that's what freaked her out, like somebody was there, which I couldn't figure out, like, wait. That's what freaked you out, not the big blood splat, but that someone left an unflushed turd in the toilet.
That. Yes.
That was really weird.
It was weird.
Like she thought someone had, I'm assuming this is what her thinking process was. And Amanda Knox is a weirdo. She's just kind of
different.
She's
strange, yeah, definitely.
By her own volition, just a little odd. So she probably thought someone took a dump, like walked out and was going to come back and flush it. But whose DNA is it? They left it out of the dock. Because if it's Rudy Gaudet is the guy that
well, yeah,
I firmly believe murdered her.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, you can I mean, you could analyze a dump, can't you, and find out who took it?
I think there's plenty of DNA in
it.
Have
you ever
dump.
Heard of a story where they, you know, the feces, I don't think I've ever heard a story where they've said feces were found and it appears to be the feces of O.J. Simpson. Or I don't think I've ever heard that.
Great question. Let's see. Is there DNA in
feces?
Feces.
Where DNA, there's got to be.
DNA is contained in blood, semen, skin cells, tissue, organs, muscle, brain cells, bone, teeth, hair, saliva, mucus, perspiration, fingernails, urine, feces, etc.
Yes. Yes. What about when the feces spends a lot of time in water
wait
like
a sec.
That?
This, no. Okay, that's from North or the National Criminal Justice Reference Service, which I think is pretty good. Now, Yahoo is saying,
how do you
no.
know if it's good?
Wow, just because they have a fancy name.
I'm like, how much true crime is Mark studying these days?
No, there's no DNA in feces itself.
What?
It only contains waste from things you eat. DNA is only in things created by your body, such as blood, saliva, and skin cells. Well, what if you have blood in your stool? However,
which is not uncommon.
However, small tears in the intestines are not uncommon, so there are probably traces of blood present, like Drew just said. It's also likely there are dead skin cells in your body. This guy is really parsing words here, right?
Yes.
It sounds like it's not the best place to get a sample from, probably because nobody wants to swab a turd that's sitting in a toilet.
It stinks.
Right?
I wonder, too, about it, if it's spending time in a lot of water, too, if that affects it. It's usage or ability to be used.
But that they really left that part out of the documentary.
Yeah, they sure did.
What did you think about the journalist from the Daily Mail?
Kind of a dick.
I thought he's kind of a dick, too, but he is doing his job.
No, I understood that part. He was a little too excited about doing his job, though, wasn't
he? I think so, too, yeah.
He's just a little too chipper about, oh, what a great case.
I know.
What a great case to cover.
He had no problem verifying anything either. It was just like, oh, we got to put it out there.
Oh, yeah.
We got to
no,
put it
definitely.
Out there.
Yeah, because, you know, it didn't seem like, I guess it was an interesting case. It didn't seem like it was that great a case until she was, you know, being charged. You know, it was late and I was having trouble staying awake for about the last 40 minutes of this thing.
Yeah.
And what I never got out of it, and I'm assuming I must have missed it, what happened to the fact that she was so madly in love with the boyfriend? You know, she'd been with him like 5 nights, but they'd been screwing every night, and they were just having a big old time. They both end up out. Did they ever try to retrieve the relationship at all?
At the very end, when she was finally exonerated last year, that's one of the first calls. They show that call, and of course she's like, she's speaking fluent Italian to him,
uh-huh.
And then says that, you know, she'll call him later, but I don't know why they would have any relationship considering how he turned on her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course.
I mean, he turned on her quick.
Yeah.
And that's what's funny about
that. Why did he do that?
He explained it in the documentary, and he's going to put blame on the investigators because they're saying that she's saying this in the other room.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was just kind of like, all right, I'm going to distance myself as far as I can from her because maybe she did kill her.
God, I would think he'd know her well enough after, you know, they spent a lot of time together. It was a short period, but a lot of time together.
Well, but see, that's what's weird about this story to me is the way it was presented originally and the way it had always been presented is you have a girl whose roommate is murdered and she's making out with her boyfriend and maybe her boyfriend in some weird sex game. But the fact of the matter is those three people really did not know each other.
No, not at all.
She had been there a week. She knew her boyfriend better than she knew her roommate.
Absolutely. But it was weird they're making out outside this.
She's a weirdo.
I know. She
being
is
weird. A weirdo is not illegal.
And he's weird, too.
Well.
Making out with her.
No. Did you catch how they were painting him in the documentary?
No, how?
Not what? Quite the ladies' man. she was only the second person he ever had sex with. They were so eager to point that out. And he kind of mentioned that, too, like when he tells a story.
He was an okay guy, though. I can see girls liking him.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not saying he's a stud.
He looked like Harry Potter.
Yeah, he's a little quirky.
They're also 20 years old, and I hate when people judge other people and how they react to something.
Because it's always a problem.
You don't know how you're going to react.
No, it's really common. But there are some cases, though, where it's so obvious. So, sure. You know, especially
well,
with...
I think actions will speak louder than, like, how you, like, facially talk or things you say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to some degree, sure.
Like, if you turn your phone off between 1 and 3, although that's during the murder.
Yeah, that was so obvious. My God, of course she did it. And I just hate cases where maybe it's not direct evidence, but it's so valuable and it tells you so much, and yet, you know, you're forced to just take it as a small piece of the puzzle when it's actually a huge piece of the puzzle. Between that girl's visit to the drugstore to get all the medical stuff for her cut and needing a paper towel and claiming at that point the cut was a day old.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. She was lying about the cut. Why was she lying about the cut? Well, she had one reason to lie about it. But, you know, that jury, hey, they nailed her after 9 hours, so I give them credit, but, you know, this stupid.
She's out and about now.
Yeah, big time. And acting all self-righteous, too. Shut up.
Probably drives her nuts. She wants to murder like nobody's business, but she can't.
Don't tell her what to do.
Walking around just dying to murder somebody.
Jay, Friday night was the weirdest podcast. First of all, the power goes out at the 50-some minute mark. And it was like, boom, mid-sentence, literally. And so we figured, well, that's part one. And then we went into part two and tried to explain it, but we had a kind of truncated part two. Charlie was getting bored. Charlie, there's about, you know, I'd say, I've told him this too, there's about 40% of what we do that he just has zero interest in.
Yeah.
And if you talk about it, he just goes, you can just sort of see him like almost falling asleep, or he gets into his phone. It's very Mazzaway-like.
You know, Maz isn't interested in anything.
And I find this to be true of journalists, that when you talk about tabloids or something, they're so stuck in journalist mode that they just can't even laugh at it. You know, I just want to have a good... The tabloids are usually for chuckles, tabloids. For shits and giggles. It's not because you're saying... This journalism, you're not supposed to, you're grading the journalism.
Of course not.
But they can't quite get out of that mindset because they're so trained, you know, to be thinking is this a real story or is it a fake story?
What are the sources?
Yeah. And in fact, you know, when I bring up stories, he has a tendency to do that. Where's that from? Because he thinks I'm always going to be bringing it out of the Globe.
The one time he was here and he did that was based on Kylie Jenner's boob job. who cares if it's true or not, which
well,
it is.
Well, the Bloids are going to get something like that right anyway. That's the kind of story they nail.
The tabloids get a lot more right than people will ever give them credit for. The biggest one being the presidential candidate, John Edwards.
Oh, John Edwards, and also Gary Hart.
Gary Hart,
the Inquirer nailed Gary Hart. Totally. There's multiple cases. The OJ case, the tabloids did a lot in the OJ case.
Michael Jackson having 6 months to live, they nailed that.
You know, the OJ case that's...
they did.
I know they did.
I mean, I was lucky, but they did.
The OJ case, the one thing the tabloids did, which just sucks because the prosecution was so stupid, they did a story early on in that case, before it ever got near a courtroom, where they talked to the woman... who called LAPD and gave them O.J. Simpson's Bronco license plate speeding from Nicole's condo on his way back to his place and had screamed at them to get out of the road because they were trying to cross the street in this white Ford Bronco. I'm screaming up the street and then, you know, get the fuck out of the road, said a black man yelled at them.
I'm O.J. Simpson. Get out of the road.
I just killed somebody.
I just killed my wife, Nicole.
And I'll kill you, too.
If you don't get out of the fucking road.
She proceeded to write down the Broncos license plate. She was right to a number, to a letter. She was absolutely right, and she called LAPD at 10:40.
Yeah.
That was exactly when he would have to be on the road. You couldn't make that up. It happened. I mean, no one knew anyone was dead at that point, and she calls in O.J. Simpson's Bronco speeding and screaming at someone, and that was in the Globe, I believe.
Hard copy. Remember, she was on hard copy.
Yeah. Because she made $500 from the tabloids, Marcia Clark said we couldn't put her on the stand.
That's Marcia Clark's fault. That doesn't make it not true.
No, it doesn't, because it's time-stamped.
I know.
Stupid.
I know. Well, she just thought she could win with science.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about science or facts anymore.
No, absolutely not. So, anyway.
By the way, I texted my brother to see if there's DNA in feces. or if he's ever heard of a case like that.
Jay, the kidnapping, I'll just set the stage. We got done. Mark just bolted, and we were. I was hanging out watching the Tigers upstairs, and the next thing I hear Charlie going, "Let's go, let's go." And I'm like, "Go where?" I have to go. We got this basement. We got water in a basement. We're just cleaning up. He's like, "We're going to Blues Bar." I'm like, "To a Blues Bar? What are you talking about?" He and Jay had been watching a bunch of stuff on YouTube downstairs while I was watching Tigers, and it was like his mind was made up. He was going a million miles an hour, and Jay even looked a little fired up, more fired up than I thought after the previous kidnapping. And out they went. I said, "I can't do it." Charlie argued with me briefly, but then he was on too much of a mission to even argue with me. Off they went.
Nice.
And then all I know is nothing was posted the next morning. I'm like, wow, Jay really was kidnapped. But I thought Jay had something to do with his son in the morning. So I thought, well, maybe he got home and he was just didn't have time to do it. But I mean, I knew there was a huge time crunch because I knew you and Charlie didn't go to the Blues Bar for 20 minutes.
No. No. Going like after 3 in the morning.
Oh. Oh.
And I had to do the walk of shame again from Charlie's here.
Oh man, what time was that at?
I said I got here about 2:30.
About the same time. It was almost the same adventure.
Time. Yeah, about the same time.
Well, what happened? Did you do the trapdoor departure from Charlie's house?
This time was a little bit easier. It was just Charlie and I. We were in his kitchen for a little bit, and we went through like tunes like Misfits and stuff like that, kind of reminiscing on some punk stuff like that back in the day. And saw an opening. You know, Charlie kind of looked like he was getting a little tired, you know, kind of thing. So I kept building it up like, hey, you look like you're getting ready to sleep there. Let me head out, you know, kind of wrap it up. He was kind of battling at first, but I think he relented finally. So, okay, get out of here, but you're walking.
Now, wait a second. Remember, he said on the podcast that it was supposed to be a night with him and his wife.
Yeah, she wasn't feeling too good, though.
Oh, okay.
Under the weather, not feeling too good. So, but, yeah, Charlie just looked like he was, it's like you said, Drew, we were down here. It looked like he was dying to blow off some steam.
Yeah, he was. Thing.
So we were watching, like, you know, some blues stuff here. We caught one of the Stones in Chicago, you know, just this really...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You know, yeah.
Small one that was
very
on
cool.
The, yeah, so that got him fired up, and he was just dying to go at that point. I kept telling him, hey, still got a show to post. We still got to see if we can resurrect part one.
Yeah.
And Charlie just didn't give a fuck.
No. He was on a mission.
Yeah. So when he went upstairs and was giving you shit, I was like, all right, it's time to take one for the team again. You know, otherwise I'll never...
Taking one for the team. That's what made me laugh.
So how long are you guys at the Blues Bar?
We were there for a couple hours at least.
How was it?
2-3 hours. Oh, it was great. It was a great time. Real small place. Raven Club down there is just phenomenal. I mean, small, simple.
That's an old blues bar, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty renowned. A lot of Motown people went through there.
What street is it on? Do you know offhand?
Off of Shane.
Okay.
Oh, wow. 94. It's like kind of just down the street from the old Cadillac plant. Down off of Shane, so.
And how many people did Charlie know at the Blues Bar?
Everybody.
I know, isn't it ridiculous going anywhere with him?
Exactly.
Charlie's the kind of person that if you want to spend any time with him, you're better off running into him.
Yeah.
Because he's really into the people he runs into. If you're the person he's running into them with, it's like, you'll meet the person, but then that's the end. You know, you'll lose any involvement in the new relationship whatsoever.
What a great concept.
Because we went from Saturday, he wanted to go to the Michigan game, and I'd offered him a ticket, so we went to the tailgate, and then we went in the game in the second half. I didn't think he wanted to go to the game. We're at the tailgate watching the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, Charlie, the stadium's right there. We can hear the roar 4 seconds ahead of any play.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what the play is, good or bad. We're watching on TV every time, which is kind of fun in a way. I was trying to predict if it was an 8-yard gain or an 11-yard gain based on the crowd response. And the crowd seemed kind of quiet for some reason.
Well, there wasn't many explosive plays in that
weren't.
Game.
True.
There's a lot of nail biting in that game.
But we decided to go in for the second half, so we're walking in. And of course, he knows all the cops at the entry.
Oh, yeah.
So it takes us an extra 20 minutes to get into our seat because he's got to talk to every cop, and there's a couple of stories exchanged, and I'm like, oh, my God. But it's like that anywhere you go. I mean, opening day, we did a lap around the stadium. Like, why are we taking a lap around the stadium? He's like, I don't know. Let's just see what's going on. Well, it's basically for him to run into 500 people at the stadium, take 420 selfies.
Most people don't want to run into other people.
No, he loves running into people.
Yeah.
And, God, but the Michigan football game, I didn't think it would be that big of an issue. But, of course, he knows all the cops. They all know him and then a few other people along the way. And then and then when we're in our seats, Charlie, I forgot which play. It was a big play coming to me. He goes, where are your keys? And I go, You know what? I left him in the car, actually. And he goes, he turns to the guy next to him. He barely knows. He goes, you got a set of keys? The guy's like, getting his keys. He's like, what for? He goes, I'll show you. Charlie's waving his keys like key play.
Yeah, for third down.
And this guy's thinking like, what the fuck did I just give this guy my keys for? Yeah.
He really wanted a set of keys for the key play.
He wanted a set of keys.
Oh my God. I never understood that. Other schools do that as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any noise.
I know. No, it doesn't make any noise. It's just, it's like 50,000 people waving their keys in the air.
Yeah. Nowadays, so many people have fobs or walk or take rides to the game. Nobody has keys.
But by the time we left the football game, he knew everyone in our section.
That's
like, funny. He never stops.
That's great.
He's a social animal.
He is.
It was the same thing here at the Blues Club. He took selfies with everybody, you know, kind of thing. God, what else? Oh, yeah, you have to ask him about his performance on stage.
What? He didn't talk about this on Saturday.
What? We at least have to have a preview, Jay.
He decided to go up and sing with the singer for
a
song. Yeah.
Who decided that? Did Charlie decide it, or was it in conjunction with the singer?
I think it was kind of in conjunction. It was a... She was talking him into it, and he decided to go for it. So he
what song?
I don't know.
A song that we probably wouldn't know?
Probably not.
Huh.
An obscure blues song?
Yeah, but I mean, it was good. I mean, it was a good song and whatnot, and Charlie's belting it out. Everybody's yelling and cheering for him. So, I mean,
Was he on key and everything?
I thought he was.
Got the job done.
I thought he did all right.
This guy's incredible.
I know.
I can't believe this guy. That's unbelievable. He didn't even say a word about it on Saturday.
No, he did.
Was he happy with his performance?
Oh, no. He's coming out. Was I on key? Was I this? You know, he's criticizing himself, you know, a little bit. But it's fine. Everybody's clapping for him.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. I would have never dreamed. I mean, Charlie would do anything, but I would not imagine. Very few people will do that. That's downright scary. How much talking into it did it require?
About 4 or 5 beers and a couple shots.
Oh, it took a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, so there's a female lead singer?
Yeah. Yeah. She's kicking ass up there. It's a great, great group of people. Everybody up there is awesome.
Damn. That's incredible.
But yeah, I got home really, really early. Like you said, I was going to go out and do something with a boy the next morning,
mm-hmm.
take him out to breakfast, that kind of thing. He likes going out for breakfast on the weekend. So looking at the clock, so I took care of that, had a couple of things to do for work, and. Then got part 2 posted later that night, and then tried to resurrect part 1, as you know.
When did you discover your face on a milk carton on Twitter?
No, I think it was around 5 o'clock that night. The next night,
Charlie worked hard on that. That was during the tailgate party, and I mean, he first had to select the milk carton, which took a few minutes. Then he had to size the picture into the space on the milk carton, which was a real effort on his part. He did a great job. It was really funny, and then tweeted it, and then I retweeted.
Very proud.
It. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was pleased with it, definitely. No, he worked his ass off. He's quite a social media animal, I got to say. He's really good. The Louisville-Clemson game.
Yeah. Which was a great game. Great.
Absolutely.
I, of course, had to watch it on TiVo because Michigan State decided to make that game interesting.
Right. Yeah, they did.
I'm still, in shock that they lost.
That overtime series was pathetic.
Oh, offensively?
It was the worst.
Well, their offensive line has just been bad this year.
But, Mark, they waste their time out after first down.
I know.
Then they run a play where the running back misses the handoff or there was a broken play.
Went the wrong way, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's your second down.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he gets sacked on third down.
Yeah.
So they had a 49-yard field goal.
Which I texted my buddy and said, that field goal attempt was worse than anything Michigan kicked today because Michigan was over 3 on field goals.
Well, he was short and wide.
Yeah, I said, at least we were just wide.
Yeah, that Michigan field goal kicking, I thought that was going to call. I thought that was going to be the ball game at one point.
It's been an issue all year because Nordine's been hurt.
Yeah.
So Louisville and Clemson was going on, which was a great game, back and forth. It's interesting to see how people compared, that game, that top 10 game of just all offense, no defense, to Michigan-Wisconsin, which is all defense, very little offense.
Such a Big Ten game.
Yeah, so different.
I mean, honestly, I can't tell you how many times I feel like I'm watching Bo's Michigan team. Even now.
Well, it's a little different, though. I mean, I don't know if Bo would ever come out in a 9-man I formation.
No, that was crazy. there's some definitely the Harbaugh touches are all over the place.
It's a little ridiculous.
I mean, a 14-7 game and just defense basically being the difference maker.
Although, God, they left points off the board. But anyway.
159 yards by Wisconsin.
Yeah, Michigan actually put up some yards. They didn't run the ball terribly well. But
what was Michigan's yardage total? It was 350 or something. I think it was about 350 because he threw for
219.
Yeah, and they ran for 136.
So yeah,
about 350.
350. Yeah, you're right. So Louisville and Clemson came down to that 4th and 12 play, and this guy just waltzes out of bounds.
Yeah, about 3 yards short of the first down. He could have cut inside. It looked like he could have scored almost.
So everybody's wondering, why did this guy not go inside? Why did he just go out of bounds? It's now been like revealed. There's been other camera angles of the play, and people are trying to figure it out. On that side of the field, you don't have the chains. You just have the guy that lays the mat down.
Oh.
The mat is like a yard short. It's supposed to be a half yard longer. And the outer border is about 6 feet painted on almost every football field, usually white or whatever. It's supposed to be within that border, and it's out. So the theory is that guy thought he had the first down by reaching over the mat that was on the ground.
Oh, man.
And to make matters worse, after the ref spotted it and called the ball turned over, the guy wearing the ACC apron,
yeah,
who's laying the mat, starts cheering.
Oh,
completely partisan. I mean, they really got screwed over. Now, you don't know if they were going to make it or he was going to score, but still.
What was it? 4th down and how many?
12.
12. God, you know, it seemed like
there was a post, there was a flag, and then he ran the underneath.
It seemed to me, and this is probably asking too much of the receiver, that you would know you had not gone 12 yards because he went 9 yards, right? 9 or 8?
Yeah, he was about a yard or two short. So you almost like
he was more,
had
wasn't
it.
He more than a yard or two, like 3 or 4?
No, it wasn't that much, but he was almost there. He probably could have put his shoulder down and dove and made it even closer, but it really looks like he had.
But cutting inside, it looked like he would have gotten more yards and the clock didn't
easily.
Matter.
He might have scored if he cut inside.
That's what I thought.
Might have got the additional. Oh, yeah, he was about 3 yards from the end zone, if that's what you're saying.
But almost made it.
Why would he be even remotely concerned about the time, though? Time wasn't an issue.
No, but you know how many times receivers go towards the first down marker?
Yeah.
You just go out of bounds and get towards the first down marker.
But they needed to score
a
touchdown. I thought he had the down wrong, or I just didn't know what was going on.
You've got to see where this guy laid the mat, the first down mat. It's ridiculous how short and how far off the paint it is.
I still would think that you would know. I don't know. I know I expect too much of these guys because you see them do stuff that you go, what? Because you're at home. You know exactly what the situation is. You know exactly where that first down line is.
Yeah, but.
And you would think that if you're on the, let's say they're on the 15 or they're on the 17 yard line and the first down is the 5 yard line, it's 3rd and 12. It seems like you'd know I have to get to the 5 yard line. You'd know on the field after doing that enough times.
And that's easy to do if it's a straight line across the field, but you're kind of not trained, but you're kind of taught to go to notice where the chains are and notice where that mat is.
Well, that's a bitch.
It's just funny that, and then the guy's clapping.
Oh.
What a dick.
Yeah, that's pretty weak. What about Brad Ausmus?
Keep him or get rid of him?
Yes.
I think you got to get rid of him.
You think so?
I don't think he's going to win you a World Series.
Who do you get better than Brad Ausmus? Who's out there? I mean, that's part of the issue.
Look, I don't think he's terrible.
He's been better every year, in my opinion. I mean, he certainly been a guy.
But don't we kind of know what kind of manager he is? One that's inconsistent, one that's, I don't know, I think he second-guesses himself a lot. You know, I don't know what's going on in the clubhouse. That's the one thing that only they can answer.
True. I like the way he handles the media, which is not really a huge part of the job, but I like he protects the players. I get the feeling when he's asked a question where they really want him to blame somebody or to say it's this guy's fault or that guy's fault, he's not a guy that's ever going to do that.
Don't all managers really do that?
Pretty much. I like the way he handles questions, generally speaking, and I think he's gotten better at that. I think he's a better manager than he was. I think he's learned every year. I still don't think he's the best manager in baseball, but I think he got a lot out of this team. I mean, considering where this team was, losing 11 games in a row, the injuries they had, the starting pitching staff, which in most cases you would consider an absolute joke,
but
their starting rotation.
He has a bad bullpen, and he still doesn't ever seem to use them consistently correctly, if that makes sense.
The bullpen?
Yeah. More. He's got
bullpen
better.
Was horrible though.
Well, I know, but you can still manage him better.
How? How do you manage guys with ERAs over five? I mean, it's really hard. I mean, considering all those guys will let you down when you need them not to let you down. You know, a good example is Friday night when Zimmerman left the game. You got to hold him. It's a 3-2 game. You've got to hold him. And what does Green do? He goes out there, gives up a single, gives up a bunt single, and then they bunt him over, and he gives up, well, it was a two-hopper up the middle. But nonetheless, basically, the relief staff came in, gave up two runs, immediately took a 3-2 game to 5-2, which, for all practical purposes, was the end of the game. Tigers scored one run. They had the bases loaded in the eighth, and Miguel strikes out with the bases loaded like he always does. Why can't Cabrera hit with the bases loaded this year?
I don't know.
I mean, a fly ball. A double play gets a run in.
Let me ask you this with Brad. I feel like he's like Matthew Stafford. He's going to get too much credit. He's going to get too much crap. But I don't think Matthew Stafford's the guy that's ever going to lead him to a Super Bowl.
So I don't think Brad ever gets – Brad rarely gets credit. I think so many people made their mind about him.
Credit. Well, that's going to happen in the fan base no matter what. Isn't the most important thing for a manager the stuff we don't see and keeping the team together?
Yeah, and in that respect, I think he did a very good job. That's the thing that I'm really giving the most credit for, the fact that this team lost 11 games in a row, was really considered to be entirely out of it, not even a factor, and especially when you consider Zimmerman was out. And then when JD was out for 6 weeks, he lost Castellanos. They were back in it when that happened. But nonetheless, I thought he held the team together really well.
But look how huge that payroll is. And I know they had injuries. I know.
But the payroll is not his fault.
No, but he's the fall guy for it.
But the GM should be the fall guy.
Avila's not going to fire himself after 1 year.
Well, the owner can fire him. That team, that payroll is not realistic. Upton was not worth the money he was worth, although he had a great month and a half at the end. Lowe was worth not a penny. He was a disaster.
Pelfrey
was why would you pay that guy $16 million? I mean, there's just – Miguel's contract is ridiculous.
Sanchez.
There's nothing to do with that. Sanchez is a joke. And I thought, you know, at one point they had Sanchez going. It looked like he was pulling himself together. He never fully really came out of that whatever – got him screwed up.
But for all those guys, you have guys like Daniel Norris, like
Boyd.
Fulmer. Even JD only making, what was JD making this year? Like $6 million?
I'm not sure. It's low though for what he does.
Yeah. McCann doesn't even make $1 million.
But, I mean, every team has guys like that. Not every guy's a superstar making $25 million.
That's the problem. That's the problem with the makeup. Look, I have a bigger problem with the makeup of the team than I do the managing of the team. It's way too top-heavy.
But that's just not his. I thought with the players he had, I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a good job holding them together. But mainly, more than anything, I thought when their backs were against the wall, they pulled out of it every time until the last 2 days of the year.
How many wins did you think they would have at the beginning of the year?
I would say a little over 500.
Okay. So most people said 86. Some people were in the 90s.
I don't know why you'd put them in the 90s. Well, you could maybe like them to win 90 games, but if you knew Zimmerman was going to miss 3 months of the year and J.D. Martinez and Castellanos were going to miss 6 weeks apiece when it really mattered, Maben was hurt, really was hurt almost the entire year. When he played very well, but he really was hurting, and he missed 5 games in September. They had some other little injuries here and there. I just thought he did a good job. I think he's a manager who's gotten better, too, over time. I think basically what's going to happen is if they let him go, somebody else is going to pick up a Brad Ausmus who's a better manager than he was 3 years ago, a much better manager than he was 3 years ago. Well, can he lead a team to a World Series? Yeah, I don't think he could. I don't know why he couldn't.
Like, couldn't year one.
The Tigers year one?
Yeah, his year one with the Tigers.
Well, that was another team with a shit bullpen. This team has had a shit bullpen for so long. I mean, honest to God, you can't win without a bullpen. And this team, you know, when you don't make it by a game or two games, you have to go back and look at all those games.
You think the Rangers are gonna do it this year because they have a shit bullpen?
Probably not. I mean, I'd be surprised. But, you know, the teams the Tigers were up against, Baltimore and Toronto, superior bullpens, especially Baltimore. Baltimore's got a really good bullpen. Toronto's bullpen is pretty darn good.
I kind of believe that managers are just kind of overrated anyway. There's not much difference outside of three or four great managers.
Well, you know,
right now,
a lot of it has to do with, you know, is the manager respected? Do they hold the team together? You know, what kind of locker room do you have? Those things are important, and manager has a lot to do with that stuff.
Yeah, but who's a really great manager right now? Bochy?
He's a good manager.
Madden hasn't won anything. I mean, would anybody call Ned Yost a great manager?
Probably not.
He won a World Series. No, he makes really ridiculous calls. But he keeps that team together. That team loves each other. Last year in the 2015 team.
Well, he deserves some credit for that. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's going to be tough for them to get rid of him. It'll be tough for them to keep him. Because
just like last year.
The reaction will be very strong either way.
But after last year, if the question is to keep him or get rid of him, and then a year goes by and you don't even make the playoffs, how do you keep him?
But look at the adversity this team had.
Sure.
I mean, they were in it. Their last team eliminated.
I know, but take a further away, though.
What do you mean?
If you were going to fire him last year and they...
I wouldn't have fired him last year.
No, but a lot of people were. There was a lot of talk about it. Hell, Bernie reported it.
Oh, yeah. No, everybody reported it.
You know?
Everyone thought it was going to happen. I just don't, you know, to be honest, it's like, why did you hire this guy if you didn't expect him to learn something on the job? I don't know why you'd hire him in the first place. I thought he was the kind of guy they thought could be a long-term guy, a smart baseball guy, a catcher.
But you had a change in general manager. That's why.
Well, the general manager they changed to really likes him, so that's why he stayed. And
then he's probably not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, I'm sure the owner will have a lot to say about it. But anyway, moving along, what else is on your mind? I know there's been a lot of...
Do you know about the new Bill Clinton book?
Yes. I was reading about it today.
Do you have the excerpt from the New York Post?
The massages?
Yeah, that's
the foot massages?
That's the excerpt, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read the excerpt, though?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God, it's hilarious. You should read it, because it's really good.
You know what? Do we have it? Can you print that out, Jay? From the...
I'll just give you a little tease. The phone rings as Bill Clinton is getting a foot massage. He goes, damn, and hangs up the phone. And the person giving the massage goes, what's wrong? Hillary's on Snapchat now, man. I'm on Snapchat. Everyone's on Snapchat. Bill Clinton is bummed that Hillary got on Snapchat.
this business of him flirting with these interns,
yeah,
who become his featured foot massagers.
Gross. What? Who would want to rub his ridiculous, disgusting feet?
This one chick likes rubbing them, apparently.
Ugh.
I know. It's just nutty. And he wanted to put a pool there so he could have pool parties with all his chicks.
Just like JFK, right?
Yeah, just like JFK. Did he actually say that? They kind of inferred that he did.
Guilty as Sin is the name of the book, and it's Ed Klein, who I believe has written many a book about the Clintons, right? Everyone's on Snapchat!
I didn't understand why that wigged him out so much.
Well, because she would have to see...
keep going.
She'd see that Bill's on there, so then she'd have to join Bill, and then Bill can't send his bent dong to chicks anymore.
When okay, so there's a little narration in between. In the midst of the message, the phone rang. Clinton listened. Wait, can you go back?
Go back. It starts with Bill Clinton was getting a foot massage.
Bill Clinton was getting a foot massage.
Gross.
We're on the terrace of his apartment. Recalled the 20-something intern at the William J. Clinton Memorial Presidential Library and Museum who was massaging Bill's feet. We had a meal served from 42. The restaurant in Little Rock Library. Vegan stuff like kale salad. Gross.
That's because I had a heart attack.
He often invites girls like me who work at the library in his apartment for a glass of red wine and a massage. That's great. That's just great. The intern said in an
interview. I like that it's girls.
I know, plural. Of course. The intern said in an interview for this book, he likes his neck and shoulders massaged because he gets knots in his muscles. Oh, yeah, he gets so many knots. It's not that he just wants your hands on him or anything. What he really likes is to have his feet massaged. He just kicks off his loafers and socks and puts his feet on the coffee table. That really makes him happy.
Gross.
Bill's always flirting with the women at the library. He knows everybody by their first name. Oh, ooh. And is incredibly kind and generous. When he talks to you, it's like you're the only person in the world. I always called him Mr. President naturally, but one day he looked at me with this horny look and said, call me Bill.
With this horny look. Did you wonder what that looks like?
I know. Good God. I sort of knew then that I was in.
Ooh, she was down for it, huh?
I know what people would say if they knew I gave him a foot massage, but hey, if it makes him happy, I'm happy to do it. The idea of touching the President of the United States that way is incredibly exciting to me.
He's not president anymore.
Duh.
He's just a creepy old man.
In the midst of the massage, the phone rang. Clinton listened for a moment, then put down the receiver. Damn, he said, according to the intern's recollection. What's wrong?
Hillary just told a bunch of Iowa Democrats she's on Snapchat.
So what? The young intern said. I'm on Snapchat. Everybody's on Snapchat.
Yeah, but she said she loves Snapchat because all her emails disappear by themselves, Clinton said.
I still don't understand.
Oh.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
That's said. Because it's always politics in his brain, right?
While the intern went back to massaging his feet, Clinton made another call. He informed the person. Nice, he's calling people on the phone while this chick's massaging his feet.
Well, he fooled around with Monica while Arafat was sitting in the waiting room.
On the other end of the line, the person on the other end of the line that Hillary had cracked. Oh, he informed the person on the other end of the line that Hillary cracked a joke about her disappearing emails at the Wing Ding dinner in Clear Lake, Iowa. The intern remembered Clinton saying, "She's fucking over the FBI. How stupid is that? You and I need to talk. I'll send a plane to get you." Ooh.
Oh, wait, I'm getting my feet rubbed right
now.
That's
a fake call. I did that to impress the intern. I'll send a plane to get you.
The other end of the phone was just beep, beep, beep. If you'd like to make a call.
Good God. The man who arrived at the library was one of Bill Clinton's oldest and most trusted advisors, a source has interviewed more than 24 times for this book. Mm-hmm. They strolled out on Clinton's penthouse terrace, his friend carrying a tumbler of Johnny Walker Black. Bill with a glass of red wine, which his doctors had prescribed for his heart.
It's my medicine.
You're right. This email thing is spiraling out of control, the advisor said, according to his recollection of the meeting, which he later shared with the author of this book. From what I know of the case, he went on, she's extremely vulnerable. It involves not only the FBI and the Justice Department, but two inspector generals in the intelligence community and the inspector general of the State Department. There are a number of statutes that she appears to have violated, national security laws that she may have breached. He took out several sheets of paper and began reading from a long list that amounted to a bill of indictment. When his friend had finished ticking off the items on the list, Clinton asked, so?
You want your feet rubbed? Not by me.
My recommendation is Hillary got ahead of the situation by hiring an outside legal counsel, the advisor replied, recalling the conversation for the author of this book. She needs to secure the services of an expert legal counsel, preferably a big league defense attorney from the Republican side of the aisle. Hillary, he added, needed to get some discovery as to where the investigation was going. You don't want to be blindsided, and if you ignore it, pretend it's a partisan ploy, and act scornfully, it'll blindside you. That's not where you want to be. You got more, Bill, there? Those emails aside, there was a big problem with her campaign, as advisor told the other. Bill knew, even if Hillary didn't, that he had to be a major component of her campaign for it to work. He felt the country had drifted to extremes on both sides. The only winning strategy was to persuade voters on the basis of their hearts to be so appealing and likable they wanted to see you on television in their living rooms every night, like just like him, right?
Yeah.
That's so funny that he thinks only he can be the answer.
Well, that's kind of leads to the next part here.
He believed he had that appeal, but he was far from certain he had the stamina to do as much campaigning as needed to be done. The other component was the growing distance between Bill and Hillary, the advisor continued. She didn't listen to much of what he said anymore.
I don't know if she ever did.
No, no doubt. When he went on about policy and politics, she rolled her eyes and started checking messages on her BlackBerry.
Just like she's going to do to the American public?
Good God. She resented the fact that Bill was treated like a rock star and that she had to work hard to create the illusion of enthusiasm.
Whoa.
All Bill had to do was walk into a room. He gave off an electrical charge. Men lit up in his presence. Women swooned. Hillary had to scream to get attention. I think if Hillary was more appreciative of Bill's efforts and less resentful, he would have worked harder for her. It was exhausting to work for someone who didn't appreciate you. I was with him at the apartment in Little Rock after a long telephone conversation with Hillary in which he held the phone away from his ear because she was shouting that he was interfering with her campaign.
That's funny. That's how I figured all their phone calls went. Like, and then him doing this, going, can you believe it? Like pointing at it to whoever's in the room. Can you hear this? This is crazy.
Listen to this shit. Finally, he cut her short and said he would call back later. He didn't exactly hang up on her, but it was very close. Afterward, he slumped down in a chair and shook his head. He looked old and defeated. Then he got up, went out to his rooftop putting green, and started chipping shots into the Arkansas River.
Awesome.
When he was done, he looked like his old self again.
said, she can do whatever the fuck she wants. He started talking about his plans for building a swimming pool on the roof of the library. He wants to have naked pool parties the way JFK had pool parties when he was in the White House.
Sweet. How could he not like Bill?
He had an architect give him a feasibility report on building a pool. It turned out that it would have been very expensive to build, disruptive to the functioning of the library. Who cares about the library? Nobody goes in there.
How many libraries have pools on the roof?
It's all online.
Then again, how many libraries have man caves for the president?
I know. And restaurants and make whatever you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, the National Archives, which administers presidential libraries, probably would have vetoed the idea, so he dropped the plan. But for a while, he thought about getting an above-ground pool for the girls. Above-ground pool for girls to splash around in.
It's from Arkansas.
Hey, above-ground's fine. Everybody has above-ground in Arkansas. Hell. Bill has a bunch of women he regularly invites to his apartment. Most of them are young and good-looking. Oh, what a surprise that is.
Of course.
He loves being surrounded by pretty girls. The place is completely secure, so he knows there's no chance any photographers can get in. I was there at one of his parties on a hot, steamy day. He served champagne and cold beer and handed out roses.
He handed out roses. Was he Chris Harrison?
Oh, the Bachelor?
Yeah.
Bill Clinton? Hey, I'm going to be the Bachelor. What do you think?
You accept this rose?
The nice thing about me and her getting divorced, I can be the Bachelor. Wouldn't that be cool? No warden around here?
Can you imagine that in the record ratings?
Oh, that'd be
Bill Clinton's the Bachelor.
Oh, that'd be great.
While she's president, too. Who would not watch that?
No one.
Just like
no
if
one
Trump,
would not watch
if Trump
that.
Decided to be the Bachelor.
Oh, God. No, that'd be really amusing.
Oh, wow.
The roses, which he grows on his terrace and which are named after his mother, Virginia Kelly. At one point, he got out a hose and sprayed some of the girls.
The ones that had white shirts on.
Keep that up, I told him, and you're going to have the first wet t-shirt contest ever held at a presidential library. Oh, my God.
This book comes out, I believe, Tuesday.
Oh, Bill. Bill, 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 Bill.
Isn't that great?
Wow, that's just...
Isn't that great?
I was laughing out loud reading that today. And meanwhile, Trump has gone mad. He's gone completely mad. I don't know. Is he trying to throw the election now? Imitating her walking?
I know.
Stumbling to the car?
Well, you know, I almost don't take anything he says at one of his rallies serious. You know what I mean?
You know it's going to make national television, though.
Oh, I know. I just mean me personally, because I just feel like he's just pandering to that crowd. He knows how to play to his crowd that's there. It's when he does the other stuff to a mixed audience that it's like, dude, how can you ever be president?
Are Trump rallies fun? Are these fun? Right?
Hey, you know what I forgot to mention when we're talking about the book on Clinton? Is it's the same book, I think it is, where they're talking about, they're trying to examine like what pussy is he really getting of late. And it appears that this Belinda Stronach, the Canadian heiress, who's a good-looking girl in her 40s, it looks like it's her, the Energizer down the street, Julie Tauber McMahon, and Gina Gershon.
Ew, really?
Gina, she's not bad-looking.
No, I said like, ooh no. For her.
Oh, I know.
I think she could do a lot better than Bill.
God, yes.
Now, the first one, is that the one whose family realized that she's staying? She just happens to be in every city Bill Clinton's in?
Yeah, she travels the world, and she just happens to be in all these exotic locations, just where Bill Clinton is at that time. Yeah.
That's funny.
And they really came down on her, too, because they're a really loaded family. Is that her? Is that Belinda?
Speaking of Trump going mad, I mean, he kind of implied that, I don't know, maybe Hillary's been doing some stuff, some philandering.
Now, that can't be true. He's just fucking
around. Of course. Sure, that's what he always does. He throws shit against the wall and sees what sticks.
But this is really beyond anything he's said or done.
Did you see Rudy Giuliani on Meet the Press today, by any chance?
Yeah, about his taxes?
No, talking about the philandering.
And oh, just that it's going to get nasty? Yeah.
And Chuck Todd just kind of challenging, going, well, you know, you've been married 3 times, and was it Judith, I can't remember her last name. Didn't he have an affair when he was mayor, and there was...
Oh, Giuliani?
Yeah, I thought Giuliani's comeback to that was pretty good. He's like, I never raped or assaulted anybody, and actually I put those people behind bars when I was a prosecutor. But that just sounds silly. Why are they attacking her on this?
Well, because she's going after the way he treats women, that he doesn't respect women.
Why are they trying to say that she had an affair or relationships or
whatever? Well, that's just stupid because he's had all the activity that needs to happen between those two if you're going to make it an issue. And the fact that, you know, she was in charge of
investigating these women, or she was involved in investigating these women and kind of putting them down or giving them strategy, which is really, I mean, that is just seamy stuff.
Yeah, but instead he decides to bring up Rosie O'Donnell as if anybody cares.
Oh, you know, what was so funny about that was he said, hey, look, when I call him stupid or fat or whatever, I was talking about Rosie O'Donnell, which everyone agrees.
I know.
I said, which everyone agrees with.
But who cares about Rosie O'Donnell? He's like the only person in America that gives a shit.
He was trying to explain when she said he calls women fat and pigs, and he was just trying to say, hey, that was Rosie O'Donnell. Like, that explains it.
I know, but she laid the perfect trap and gave the perfect example of one person where he is caught on tape doing it. From back in the day, and he fell right into it. And this is where it's his problem. He wouldn't let it go, Drew.
What was he caught on tape doing?
Calling her, having her work out for the media.
Oh, but he didn't call her Miss Piggy on tape.
No, but he called her an eating machine on tape.
Oh, yeah. He said that the day after that, didn't he?
Yeah, he doubled down on it, yeah.
Well, she must have been an eating machine to put on 55 pounds. But
then again, he acts like he's... But why can't he let that go? See, this is the thing. Because he
has to be right. He has to have his say.
He can't let that go. He couldn't let. Remember the last big stupid thing with a non-political person was the Gold Star family.
He always does that though. If anybody rags on him, he comes back 10 times as hard. He just doesn't let it go.
Is that a good quality for somebody to run this country?
No, it's not a good quality for anyone. It's just stupid. I don't know why he does it.
That's my point. I don't understand why. I mean, whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
What, is anybody really considering him to be a proper candidate? I mean, he's got to be the craziest candidate.
About 42% of people do.
Well, but that's because the reason Donald Trump has 42% is because Hillary Clinton is the worst candidate the Democrats could possibly put out there.
And
look at her trust levels. What is it, 70% of the country doesn't trust her?
If it was Biden, what percent do you think Trump would have?
He wouldn't have 42%.
I think it'd be about 35, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, Biden's a little wacky, too.
Yeah, Biden's not a great candidate either. I don't know.
I was trying to think of who else it could have been.
When you think about the last... O'Malley. If you think about the last...
It's never gonna be Bernie.
Think about the last 25 or 30 who have represented, you know, have been the Democrats' pick for president, the Republicans' pick for president, the last maybe 12, 13 elections. There have been some pretty poor picks.
Well, who's the last loser that you could have seen being president? McCain, maybe?
I don't know. I don't think he was a good choice for president. John Kerry was a bad choice.
I mean, they all lost, so yeah, they turned out to be bad choices.
I think Al Gore could have been president.
Yeah.
I don't know how good a president he would have been.
You don't think McCain could have? Although with Palin. I know.
Any of them,
could you imagine if that would have happened?
I know. No, any of them could have been president. But, you know, McCain, when you think about Palin, to me, it's more amazing that selection, once it became apparent how ridiculous it was, I can't believe the election wasn't just over at that minute, that the media, I thought, let her off the hook in a lot of ways. I mean, they act like, this is a gotcha media. I thought the media, she was a pathetic, ridiculous candidate.
She still is.
To God,
she's so pathetic that she comes out and endorses Trump, gives that ridiculous press conference in Iowa. And you never see her again.
How could anyone endorse? I'm amazed anyone would endorse Donald Trump. Endorse? You're saying basically, I believe in this guy, and I will go to the wall with him.
That's like the sanest thing he did, though. I don't know if you remember that press conference. He's kind of off to the side going, even the stuff she was saying was a little wacky for Trump, and you never saw her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You never saw her again.
No. Well, is she really important to this process in any way, shape, or form? No. No way.
No, she's actually disappeared quite a bit lately.
Well, should she ever have been on the national stage in the first place? No.
Wasn't that response of getting her just a non-white male vice presidential candidate response?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
And to find a minority or a woman.
No, it was a joke. It was a total joke. And they didn't vet her.
You know, what, 8 hours of vetting, I think?
I think reading about her time as a VP candidate is one of the funniest things you can read about in politics because it's hilarious.
Her meltdown in Philadelphia.
Multiple meltdowns. You know, when they didn't want her to answer that questionnaire, she's answering some questionnaire to her local hometown paper.
The Wasilla Press.
Yeah, when she should have been studying for the debate or something.
Yep. The debate against O'Biden.
Oh, God. What a weirdo. She's a kook. She's a hot kook, though. And I still give credit to the who's a Michigan basketball player?
Oh, Glenn Rice, who, by the way, just filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I saw that. Glenn Rice made a ton of money in the NBA.
I know.
How could he be bankrupt?
I don't know.
Oh, and
is he bankrolling Junior's legal issues?
Bernard Robinson's out of prison.
He is?
Yes.
Wait,
not Bernard Robinson.
Ramil Robinson?
The winning free
Ramil,
throw.
Ramil
Robinson, yeah.
It's funny, I knew exactly what you meant.
Bernard was a forward in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
He was great. I liked
yeah.
him.
On those really bad teams. He's like the bright, shining star yeah. on a really bad team.
He had
team.
Some great dunks, classic dunks.
Ramil's out, huh?
6.5 years he served.
I'm going to guess something, too. He's probably not apologetic.
Nope, not at all. Not one bit.
He might be one of the biggest assholes in all of sports.
To do what he did to his mother is the worst thing of all. I mean, he stole basically $1.1 million from an Iowa bank. And
spend it on cars and strippers.
Yep, and lifestyle in Miami. I mean, he had a big-ass lifestyle. But he eventually put his mother's house up for collateral for something that he failed on, and they actually took his mother's home away from her. She raised, how many, 15 kids yeah. there or something?
The home that is on Ramil Robinson Way.
Yes, that's correct. I don't know how he got. I don't understand the justice system at all. When you steal a couple million bucks, especially from his mother to steal from her,
yeah.
how can you get 6 years? I mean, if you rob a bank and steal $200,000, you're going to serve longer than that.
No, he has to pay it back with penalty too, right? I would assume.
Yeah, he'll never pay back a cent. No, you know what? He does not have to pay his mother back.
He doesn't.
She's not included in the restitution.
Why? Because it's blood?
I don't know. I don't know why. That was the first
Even
thing
I
wondered
it's not
about.
Blood, but she, I mean, adopted mother.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
Really lame. By the way, the Michigan poll for president, Hillary was ahead 42-35, so that debate really launched her.
Where's my man at?
Oh, Johnson?
Yeah.
9%.
God, he just can't crack double digits, kid.
I think he's going to crack double digits before it's over.
I mean, he keeps making enough gaffes so people know who he is.
How can he be? He was a congressman, wasn't he?
He's a governor.
Oh, governor, that's right.
Yeah, which governors
make
the best
governor
presence.
To not be able to name a world leader that he likes?
That he admires.
Admires, whatever.
He doesn't admire any world leaders, Drew.
It didn't seem like he could name a world leader is what it seemed like.
Of course he couldn't. If he was smart, he could have named Trudeau up in Canada, because I believe that's the Libertarian Party up there. Would have made total
sense. That was amazing. It's funny, too, because he looks so just so nonchalant about it. Like, oh, it's crazy. I can't think of anybody besides the guy who used to be president of Mexico. And Bill Weld kind of tried to bail him out.
But if you could hear Weld's inner monologue, he's going, come on, Gary! Because Weld is really the brains behind the two, in my opinion. But
no doubt.
Gary Johnson has been kind of the head of the Libertarian Party.
He said, I'm having an Aleppo moment.
And what is Aleppo? You're not serious.
That's yes. what he said.
No, I know, but I'm just recanting the barnacle conversation.
Yeah, that was definitely.
What is Aleppo?
That was a gotcha moment. That was a real live
gotcha
moment.
Hey, he owned it, though, man.
Hey, did you hear our favorite radio personality gave away $5,000 to somebody for yelling during Fox and Friends that Bill Clinton is a racist on national TV?
Really? Who, Monica?
Alex Jones.
He did?
Yeah, Alex Jones offered $5,000.
From Infowars.com.
That's right. I'm not sure what the offer was, but it was $5,000 to get... this guy won it for whatever reason. I think you were supposed to get something on national TV, and I guess he was going to decide what the best
stupid.
One was.
That reminds me, Drew, I forgot to call into Monica Conyers' show today.
Oh, shoot.
I wonder how show two went for Monica Conyers.
That show is so bad. There's no way that station is getting any ratings.
No.
Not with.
They've never showed up. Believe me, I look at the book.
They don't show up at all?
No, I've never seen them on there.
Somebody by the name of Monica Conyers.
Water.
Tried to call into her first show, but they left me on hold for quite a while. Mark was recording it.
You got bumped for Vonda Evans?
It was a huge disappointment.
And she needs to go.
They stalled out the clock on me.
You got bumped for Bob Becerra's judge? Because they're friends?
I know. What a bummer.
She's the one that remarried John and Monica?
Oh, boy. Well, we ought to wrap things up. No two-parter tonight.
I'm trying to think of anything else that happened. Oh, Lindsay Lohan cut her finger off. Did you see that?
Yeah, my sister texted me that because I got cut off my part of my finger. And my sister said, you and Lindsay Lohan have something in common.
You do it the same way by trying to anchor a boat in the Mediterranean?
No, I had my finger in the doors playing hide and go seek.
Yeah.
And my brother slammed the door.
Really? I got my hand slammed in the door once, too.
Oh, boy, that hurt. I still remember that. Oh, car door.
Yeah.
Ooh.
At the 1986 McDonald's High School All-American Classic at Joe Louis Arena, I had to go to first aid down there.
Oh, you went right at the arena?
Yeah.
Oh, so Al didn't have to miss any action.
It was actually my friend's family I was attending with, but I was getting out of the van like this, and someone slammed the door, and I'm like, I can't move my arm, and it doesn't hurt at first.
Oh.
I'm 10 years old. And then they opened the door, and I'm like, but there's people around, so you don't want to cry. So it's like, yeah.
What kind of first aid did you need?
They just had to, you know, bandage it up.
Oh.
It was just the, you know, these three fingers. But it's on my left hand, so I was freaked.
Was it bleeding a lot?
Yeah, it was bleeding a ton. Was it? So really? I walked to the Joe tunnel and stuff, you know, that from the parking garage like this. Like I was trying to answer a question. Hand up in the air.
There's a story today in the... What were you going to say?
No. Just still crying.
Oh, Rocky. There was a story in the Free Press today, the Sunday sports section, about Jalen Rose trying to get this Fab Five banner back up and wanting Steve Fisher to be also honored.
Cool.
For his coaching, for his 184 wins at Michigan. I guess he's fourth on the list.
Why not?
I don't know. Will they? Why wouldn't they honor Steve Fisher? It's been a long time. He's coaching at San Diego State. He's having a great success out there.
Hey, I think it's time to put him back up. I mean, those were self-imposed.
If this thing is all based on Chris Weber, I think that's ridiculous. Just because
they want him to apologize.
He's not going to apologize.
No, I know. Well, I think there'd be nothing better if they honored the Fab Five and he's not here.
Yeah, why not?
Seriously, honor him and have have the other four in.
I was going to say put the banner up and just put the four of them up. But
did I ever tell you about the time?
Why the fuck not?
The time I met one of the Fab Five and I talked to him about that.
No, who'd you meet?
Jimmy King.
Oh, when was this?
I was like, hey man, this is at towards the end of 105.1.
Oh wow.
And I was like, I'm going to be a total fanboy because when you guys were, you know, freshmen, I was in high school in Ann Arbor, loved you guys. I said, I still, you know, follow everything you guys do. I still like you guys, except for one. And he kind of chuckled. And we started talking about it. And there is no love lost there.
No, absolutely not.
Between any of the four and Chris Weber.
Well, we interviewed Jimmy King.
Yeah.
At 105.
Yeah.
And he was good dude. I love the way those guys are just honest about it. I mean, it's so refreshing compared to most. Oh, well, he's a great guy. You know, we just had a little, you know, something we didn't get along. They're in the same building in Atlanta for the Final Four when Michigan's playing, and he won't get together with his four teammates.
And frankly, that's the best way they all say it. They say, and I think Jalen was the first to say it, said, look, four of us are there. Four of us are hanging out. One's up in a suite.
What was that?
He's an asshole.
Why would he be? But these are
Chris
his
Weber's
friends.
An asshole.
These are his closest, dearest, longest running friends.
Not anymore.
Not dearest. Just because they disagree over a couple things, they can never talk again.
In his mind,
he's pathetic. He really is. His own father's called him pathetic a couple times.
Really?
Yeah. Back when he's getting busted for pot every now and again, and he was always in denial. I forget what his he always has excuses for everything. He never says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Never says that.
His only friend is Mitch Albom.
Well, that's because...
how much of that book did Mitch give to him, by the way?
Oh, he didn't give those guys any money.
What?
Did he? No way.
But isn't that the famous part from the book?
Yeah, the part where they're walking around and Chris wants to borrow gas money from Mitch because he doesn't have any money. And just as after Mitch tells him he can't loan him money, they walk by a sports store, and there's Chris Weber's jersey for sale for $75 a piece.
Yeah. He didn't have
money. Liz!
Such a joke.
I don't believe that story because I don't believe that Chris Weber and Mitch Albom hung out.
No. But who would ever challenge that? It's such a silly thing to challenge.
No, I don't know. Maybe it happened in some other form, but the idea that they're just hanging out, just tooling
happened.
Around in Ann Arbor, just hanging.
It never happened. That guy lies.
It seemed pretty preposterous to me.
But did he give any of his profit of the book that he wrote with that anecdote in it to Chris Weber after the fact?
I don't know. You know, he does a lot for charity, and he seems to, some of his stuff seems to go directly to charity, but that book, it seems to me, was a Mitch Albom venture. I don't know. If I wrote a book in the Fab Five, I don't know
I'd
if I'd
keep
be
it all
giving
too.
Any money to anybody else either.
Of course I would.
What made him, why did he have such special access to the Fab Five, by the way, or did he?
Well, he was the big columnist for the paper, for the local paper.
Is that one of those things where he said, I need special access to these guys because I'm going to write a book on them?
Probably.
And everyone went, oh my God, a book, that's great.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, good for him, he's the one that did it.
Oh, well, if you like the book. Did you read the book?
No.
I didn't either. No. Nobody did.
I don't think we talked enough about Michigan football today.
Oh, what do you want to say about it?
Just kidding. The catch, the interception, the Jordan Lewis interception.
Oh, the interception, yeah, that was amazing. That was incredible. Even though it was a dumb play, it was fourth down, it was like a punt.
I know, but in Harbaugh, we trusted. Did you hear his comments about it?
I think he said it was worth it.
Yeah, because
it was
such
a great catch.
Football play. Yeah. Although somebody was commenting that it really hurts the people in Vegas, but the spread was 10.5, so even if they kicked a field goal and actually made one there, they still wouldn't have covered.
Oh, interesting.
If they would have punched it in, though, and scored a touchdown, they would have covered.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's so funny.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a bettor, can you imagine how hard you were screaming when he caught that ball? If you had Michigan in 10.5?
Yeah. Well, but you would still, my point being, though, you still would need them to punch it in as opposed to just kicking a field goal.
Yeah, would they? Well, I don't know.
Because it would have only been out by 10.
Well, they would have been close, though, wouldn't they?
Oh, they would have been on like the 10.
I'd have been very, very upset if I bet on that game. That's so funny. When you think about, I haven't gambled in so long, I don't even think about games like that. But when you're gambling, I always think about that in a game. Like, oh my God, if you had money, oh my God, I would just die if I had money in this game.
Well, what was
it? But it happened to me so many times, and I just discovered that, you know what, you're just not meant to win money gambling. I don't know why. People don't win money sports betting. Why don't they win? You've got a 50-50 shot.
Aren't there people you think
would be winning gobs of money?
I think you could. I think just over time it would even out. I think if you were to always bet opposite of where everybody else goes, because that's how the line moves. And you can see those trends.
I mean, think about this. The sports books in Vegas, they're banking on the fact that people will more often get it wrong than right.
Yeah, but they also make 10% on the bet.
Yeah, they get the juice too. But generally speaking, and I forgot who I asked this of. It was one of those hot shots out there. You know, do people, you know, outside of the juice, would you still make money if there was no juice? And it was one of these laughing, it's like,
Is that because they control the line? They control...
No, it's because people get it wrong more than they get it right.
Really?
Yeah.
But I mean, is that because they move the line based on where the money is?
I don't know. That's a good question. But, you know, the other question I asked was, you know, are there people who are just making gobs of money on sports betting? And he said, there really aren't. I mean, there are a few, just a very few. But as far as like him being scared when somebody enters the betting booth, no, not at all.
I'm trying to think. There was a play last week or 2 weeks ago where the quarterback got stripped at the end of the game and some big fat guy took it back and ran. I think that was in the NFL, and it flipped the spread. It was on the very last play of the game.
Oh.
And that's happened before. It's happened a couple times.
That was an NFL game?
It was the NFL. Yeah, it's driving me nuts. Someone out there screaming it, but I can't think of what it is.
Well, there's so much money. I mean, you think of how much money goes down between fantasy football. Though people don't bet that much on fantasy football, do they? Aren't those leagues?
Well, what do you mean? Like,
I'm sure there's some leagues that are a lot of money. But
there's daily fantasy. DraftKings.
Fantasy.
You ever heard of DraftKings?
Yes, I've heard of DraftKings.
Amazing. They have no ads on this year.
Whoa, what happened? You used to advertise so heavily.
I know. People get mad. Not allowed to have any fun.
That's too bad. It was good fun, it seems to me.
Everybody loved it.
Yeah, sure they did. What are the grounds for removing DraftKings from the airwaves? What was the big deal?
From our airwaves?
Because they had employees that were doing it?
Well, the shit at the fan when they realized that a person, I can't remember which way it was, but a person from DraftKings was winning on FanDuel. Or vice versa.
Oh, that's right.
And they were winning because they knew they had the analytics
right.
That were not publicly released.
They were also following players that were real successful. People were picking lineups that were doing really well.
Yeah, but you don't want to pick the best lineup that everybody else has. You want to pick the one that's a little different, too. So he knew where all the people were getting picked, the best value.
Right.
I mean, it's just
fascinating stuff.
It kind of is, actually.
No, it is. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, have a great night, and we'll be back. We'll hope you have your week's off to a great start, and we'll catch you tomorrow, of course. So, see you.